Welcome, everybody. I would like to give you a quick orientation to the Bible. Yes, a quick orientation to the Bible. I realize that some people did not grow up in church or did not grow up in a biblical church, have not spent the last 40 years poring over Scripture. And so when the pastor says, okay, we're going to start in 2 Timothy 2 and 1, you're still trying to find 2 Timothy 2 and 1 when he's already on the third topic. Okay. And so I've been asked to do this before, and I can do this very quickly. Give you a roadmap so you know which end is up and where to go and how to make some progress in the Bible. Okay. Now, first off, I know that you can get the Bible in electronic format on your phone, on your computer, and that indexing is great, wonderful. I use it too. But if you will get your hands on a real book, you will have a easier time of figuring out what's going on to start with. And I truly recommend also continuing to read out of a book, although, of course, you're going to use the electronic indexing. By the way, there is indexing in books. But anyway, get your hands on a book. You will notice that this book is divided into two sections. The first section, toward your left, is what we call, what Christians call, the Old Testament. The politically correct term now is Hebrew Scriptures. And the latter part of the book, which is many fewer pages to your right hand, is called the New Testament. The Old Testament and the New Testament. It would be great if you could see this visually, but this is what we've got. So the New Testament starts with the Gospel according to Matthew, and it begins the stories of Jesus. So you can think of everything before the New Testament as B.C., before Christ. Okay? And chronologically, that was correct. So, all right. So, Old Testament and the New Testament, and I'm not going to try to give you any kind of doctrinal understanding right now, although we could talk a lot about everything. But we do have a good saying that in the Old Testament, the New Testament is concealed, and in the New Testament, the Old Testament is revealed. So there is a connection. And don't throw away one part or the other. Okay, so let's go to the New Testament. What do you have there? Well, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You may have heard those names put together for. Okay, each of those is a gospel. Matthew was the gospel, meaning the story about Christ, about what Jesus did when he was here on earth. Matthew is written more from a Jewish perspective, does a lot of quoting of the Old Testament. Mark shows the disciples as kind of dense. It's a nice short book. It's a good place to start. Luke is written for non-Jews, probably written in Rome. And then John is a little different. John was the youngest disciple and lived to be a long time and was close to Jesus, and it's great. Okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament. And then you have the book that's labeled Acts, officially the Acts of the Apostles. And so this is the story of the first church, okay? Starts with the day of Pentecost. Well, no, it doesn't. It starts with Jesus going back up into heaven. And then chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost, and it goes through Paul being another apostle who was not a direct disciple of Jesus, meaning he did not walk around with Jesus with the other 12 originally. And he did die in Rome. You don't see that in the end of the book. So there are 28 chapters in Acts. And then you have the epistles. The epistles are not the wives of the apostles. The epistles is a Greek word that means the letters. So these are the letters that the apostles wrote to the various churches. They are not in chronological order. They're in the order that some church council decided. And we've got Romans first. They decided to put these together and publish them. Okay, so Romans, it was written by Paul to the people in Rome and is very important doctrinally. It's a great book if you want to know how to understand the Christian faith. I recommend Romans. It's a great book. It actually, these may be in order with the largest first. So there's Romans. It's not like it's a huge read. It's 16 chapters. Okay. It's a letter. Then you have 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Paul writing to the church in the town of Corinth. And then that's all the big ones. Okay. Then you've got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Four books we used to like to say together. General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. No, Philippians, Colossians. Anyway, these are four wonderful books by Paul, all very important. And then we've got the T's all together. The T's before the next big one. So we've got 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus. And then we have a little book of Philemon. Paul was writing about a man named Philemon who was a runaway slave. So then we have the big book, Hebrews. Hebrews does not have attached to it who wrote it. But it's wonderful and deep and great. And then we've got the Epistle of James. James, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. So James was the head of the church later. And anyway, you begin to see a little different perspective in James. He's the one who says, without works, faith is dead. So Paul has been talking about faith, 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 and James put the balance on it. Then you have 1st and 2nd Peter. You remember Peter was the lead disciple with Jesus, always getting in trouble, but he was the lead disciple. That was his job. And, of course, he was very respected later on. And then we have, so that's 1st and 2nd Peter, and then there's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So now these are short letters to the churches written by the now very old Apostle John. And then one chapter, the Epistle of Jude, who's the brother of James. And then the very last book in the New Testament, the Revelation of John. Well, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ through the Apostle John when he was a prisoner on the Isle of Patmos. And it's very apocalyptic what should come, but really it's a revelation of Jesus, and the ending is good. So there you have it. And for the New Testament, and I do recommend that you start reading in Matthew, okay, and read the New Testament before you go to the Old Testament. And while you will want to purchase some Bible that is very true to the Greek and Hebrew, you might want to start reading in something that is more modern English. So when I was young, I started reading in the Living Translation, Living Bible. It is not a translation. And so somebody's doctrine might show through, but I was 14, and although I did have other Bibles, this was really a good way for me to investigate. You might want to choose the Message or Good News or something. It's not because it's so terribly accurate, but because it's easier to read. And then get I got a Thompson King James Bible. So the Thompson had a lot of footnotes and indexes, and this was all good. You might find a King James if you can read that. Often they have great footnotes. You find various editions that have lots of Bible helps. I particularly like the New American Standard. I think it's quite close to the Greek and Hebrew, and there are some others. Go into the Bible bookstore and look around. Okay, so that's the New Testament. So let's go back to the Old Testament and start there. By the way, before the Old Testament and before the New Testament, there is a table of contents, or more precisely, the names and order of the books, so that if you forget the order, you can just look it up there and turn to the page number. This is always helpful. Page numbers, yeah. Good invention. Okay, so back to the Old Testament, or the Hebrew Scriptures, or the Tanakh. Okay, the first five books, often called the Pentateuch, right? Just means the first five books. And also Jews would call the Torah. Okay, you have Genesis. The word Genesis means beginning. So you have the story of creation, the story of the eldest patriarchs, Adam and all of his, Adam and Eve and their progeny and so forth. And then you have the story of Abraham and so forth, the story of Jacob and his 12 sons. Then you have Exodus, which means leaving, which you know, Exodus, just like exit. So this is the story of the children the Israelites. So they're all the children of Jacob. And they stayed for more than 400 years in Egypt, and then they were miraculously let go because they came in as guests, but they ended up as slaves, and God performed a miracle and let them go, and this is remembered to this day. Very important. Then there is Leviticus. These are the laws that the Levite priests would carry out, and the feast days of Israel and so forth. Numbers. And then Deuteronomy, which is the history of all of this, restated. So this is the first five books, most important, and you might call them history books, but of course they teach doctrine. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. By the way, the story of the Ten Commandments and so forth is more than one place, but look in Exodus 19 and thereabouts. Okay. So, then you have the real history, okay? You've got Joshua, which is the story of Joshua was the leader and the children of Israel go into the promised land. Judges, which is what happens later. They were ruled by judges, yes. Ruth, which is a wonderful story of a Moabitess woman getting adopted in, married in, of course, but also adopted into the covenant of Israel and indeed the lineage of David in Christ. Okay. Then you have 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And of course, this is the history of the period in which the nation of Israel has kings. Then we have Ezra and Nehemiah, which are the history of when they come back out of exile from Babylon. As the kings didn't do so well, in the end, they got carried off. Israel got carried off earlier to Assyria and Judah later to Babylon. But then they come back. So that's Ezra and Nehemiah. Esther is also from the time period when they're in the Babylonish exile. Then you have a different kind of literature, which we call wisdom literature. You've got Job, which the book doesn't tell you when that happened, but Job and his dealings with the Lord and his friends. Psalms, which is the songbook. It's wonderful. And many of these songs were written by King David, particularly in the first part. Proverbs, which was compiled by Solomon, who was King David's son. Ecclesiastes, also from Solomon. Song of Solomon, wonderful love story, which we read as about the church and Jesus. Then you have the prophets, the major prophets, Isaiah. Wow, Isaiah is all about Jesus. It's amazing. Well, of course, it also has to do with what was going on. You know, Isaiah was prophesying to to the Israelites during the period of the kings. But oh, it's just awesome. You have to read Isaiah. You've got to read Isaiah 52 and 53. Oh, 54, it's all about Jesus. It's just so awesome. Okay, Jeremiah and Lamentations. Here, Prophet Jeremiah is warning the Israelites, the Judites in particular, that they better get their act together. They're going to be carried off, and they are. Okay, Ezekiel, also major prophet, talking again, very apocalyptic. He is talking to the people in the exilic time, but also to us. Then what we call the minor prophets, Daniel. Oh, not minor, it's just his book is shorter. Daniel was a great leader in Babylon and really was a prisoner as a kid, but ended up a great, magistrate, a great civil servant, very powerful in Babylon and considered the wisest man ever. Then Hosea. Okay, now we've got all the minor prophets, meaning they have short books at the end of the Old Testament. So how are you going to keep these straight? Hosea, Joel, Amos, and Obadiah, and Jonah. Okay, these are all the names that have O's in them. So if you're looking for Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, or Jonah, then look right after Daniel. You remember Jonah was the guy in the belly of the whale, actually. The text doesn't say whale, but that makes sense. Okay. Then you have Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Okay. All of these have A's in them, and they're at the very end. Okay. You can memorize these if you're a great student. If not, if you forget, you know, as long as you know they're in the back of the book, you've got a good chance of finding them in the middle of service. Or you could use the table of contents. So once again, Hosea and Joel, Amos, Obadiah, and Jonah. That's five. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Five. And then one, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. There's seven. Okay, once again, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Most of these are the post-exilic, so they're trying to help Judah get their act together as they're back in the land. Malachi is saying, you know, you're fussing, but are you paying attention to the house of the Lord, or are you just paying attention to your own crops? And then he ends at the very end that the hearts of the father will be turned to the sons and the hearts of the sons to the father, and prophesying John the Baptist or the spirit of Elijah, which we feel was embodied in John the Baptist. So there is this silent period of history. Actually, there were some other books written, but they're not bound in our Bible. But anyway, and then silent period, we'll call it, because there were books, Maccabees and so forth. But anyway, then we start again with Matthew in the New Testament. Okay, got it? So now you have an orientation so you can find things. Also, we need to talk about how we use this book. In seminary, they would teach, this is the primary witness to Jesus. This book is how we find out about Jesus. Logically and historically, we would say we have four witnesses to Jesus. We have, and we also incidentally have one that's outside the tradition. The Book of Thomas was found in the Nag Hammadi Library, so it was in a bunch of books that were preserved in Egypt because it was so dry. And so this was not a book that the Orthodox Christians kept over the centuries, but it was nevertheless found. being very ancient and having many of the same sayings. So we know that Jesus actually spoke these words historically. And there are few people in history this far back who are as well attested to. You know, Marcus Aurelius, he wrote something and he was a Caesar, so we know he existed. We know what he said. We have more words perhaps of Jesus. So don't let anybody tell you, well, we don't know he existed. Come on now. We do. Historically and logically. Okay. So that's one way. But we as believers believe this is truth, that, and we can find a scripture for this, that God breathed these words, inspired, means he breathed these words. And so this is where our doctrine is going to come from. And even to this day, if I'm going to argue with, say I argue with my favorite pastor and he says something and it's new to me, I might say, okay, what's your chapter and verse for that? Okay? And he'll pull it out if he's serious about it. So, and same to me, you know? This is where we get our doctrine from. We worship Jesus, but this is our primary witness to Jesus, and we're not going to come up with some doctrine that's contrary to this. Now, personally, I do believe that Holy Spirit does reveal things, but I have some experience with this. If it's not hidden in these words, forget it. Yeah, it will be hidden in here. So I'm reading here. I've read these words many times before, but I'll be reading and, oh, I see that. Now I get it. Okay? That's the kind of revelation I expect. So I expect to read the words, but I expect for Holy Spirit to speak them to me also. So we have the Word of God, meaning the Bible, witnessing to the Word of God, who is Jesus, and the Spirit of God illuminating the book to my heart. And we as Christians, people who follow Christ, that's what Christians mean, we're like Christ, it's a tall order. So we are to be epistles. So our lives are letters to the world. Hopefully God's love letters. Okay, so there you have it, an orientation to the Bible in less than 30 minutes. Now you can find your way around, you understand why we care, and you've got some good ideas on where to start. Go get you a couple of real books. One that's a good study Bible, that's faithful to the original Greek. The New Testament was written in Greek and Old Testament in Hebrew, more or less. I say more or less because you can see some Aramaic here in some of them. But anyway, which was a variant of Hebrew. So get yourself something that's faithful, but also get yourself something easy to read, and read the New Testament and then start with the Old Testament. And don't get real upset if you don't understand the apocalyptic stuff, but you will over time. And read it. And yes, get yourself some electronic version so that you can look things up. So index to the Bible is called a concordance. And so, for instance, maybe Pastor was preaching about the woman at the well last Sunday. You forgot where that was. So you can look up woman well, and it'll pop up John 4. And so this is very handy. This is true on some apps. I don't know which one to recommend, but there are also many, many websites. Bible Gateway is one. Blue Bible is another that's audio. And eSword is one that you can download for free. It is King James, so you can buy other versions that attach to it. But the index And it indexes to Greek and Hebrew. So if you want to see the Greek-Hebrew word, you don't have to actually read Greek and Hebrew. It will index you and give you a definition. So that's eSword, and you can download it for your computer. Okay, we're still under half an hour. Woohoo! And now you are equipped. Go forth. Read. Enjoy. Do. Thanks so much.